What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and we have been talking about AI therapy. And honestly, I've almost been sucked into this world. You guys need to pray for me in all of the research for these episodes. I have been learning so much about AI, ChatGPT, generative AI. So I want to remind you of what we have been covering. So I've created this new title to help understand, like biblical counseling journalism, and I'm calling it Biblical Counseling Stories. I want to take different topics, people, events, organizations, and help present them to you kind of factually, and then along the way, give you observations, questions to ask, and then our final episode to think biblically about that topic and how we should interact. And so this one is going to lend itself much more easily to analyzing it, and we'll do that in our fourth episode. But today is part two of a four-part series on AI therapy. If you haven't listened to last week's first, I would actually encourage you to pause, go back to last week, listen to that, and then you'll be able to jump into this episode. This past week, I asked a chatbot if I should divorce my wife. I told her that, by the way. We're in a good spot. Baby, I love you. We're in a good spot. So I wasn't like genuinely curious what they think I should do in terms of I was going to take their advice. But I went to a chatbot for decision making. And I learned that about 8.2 million, according to the website, and this is character.ai, according to the website, the decision helper chatbot had 8.2 million chats taking place, helping people come to decisions. And so, man, I just loaded it in there. I said, should I divorce my wife? And then launched the chatbot conversation. The decision-making chatbot gave me criteria that I'll share here in a moment. And then they said, well, ultimately, if you don't have these met, you can't talk through them, she's unwilling to listen to you, then maybe it is time to think about separation. Whoa, holy smokes. You and I have to be aware what chat therapy, chat decision-making, chat relationships and companionships are doing right now beneath our feet. I don't know if you're aware of it, but that's what this biblical counseling series is trying to help you understand. I ended last episode by saying that AI therapy is reaching you and your kids. And I'm not a doomsdayer, okay? You guys know that about me by this point. I'm not a doomsdayer. But I want to share with you a couple of things that are factual, okay? This is factual. There is an app called an Alongside app. It's just Alongside app. If you Google Alongside, you'll find it. But it's for students, meaning minors, meaning high schoolers, meaning your 16-year-old daughter could be on the Alongside app texting a chatbot to get help with their day, emotional help. You want to hear the slogans? I mentioned these last episode. It's a judgment-free zone. Once you open the chat, you can start typing how you feel. If you don't know how you feel, select a prompt. That sounds like the worst idea of all time. Hey, do one of these six describe what you're feeling right now? Talk about feeding ideas to people. So I ended the last episode by saying, hey, you need to be asking questions and maybe these are concerns for you. What's the worldview of the software engineers that wrote these chatbots? What are they actually saying? And is it iatrogenic, meaning are they helping create a problem? So if you ask a person enough if they feel sad, then guess what they start to feel in the lens through which they evaluate their emotions? It's going to be sadness. I'm not sure that we as a culture have the widespread discernment to be able to work through the biases and what's happening in chat relationships and therapy. And furthermore, what's being censored, meaning what is not allowed to be said. In episode 3, again, I will mention what is being censored, and I'll share with you some of the questions I asked ChatGPT that were censored in their response toward me. So let me explain to you some of the results of what's happening with this tool in relationships, counseling,
and also in therapy. There is a movie called Her that was released in 2013 with Joaquin Phoenix. Some of you have heard about it, no pun intended, heard about her. I wouldn't encourage you to watch it. It's R-rated. It had some inappropriate things. And in the movie, a man falls in love with this chatbot. And in the movie's plot, others are just very accepting. It's like, oh yeah, she's an OS is the idea. And yet they're in love. By the end of the movie, what starts to take place is he realizes that this isn't a real relationship and starts to lose touch with what is real and what is a relationship, only to feel betrayed by her because he finds out that Samantha, her name, is talking with about 8,000 other people concurrently, and 600 of them she says she's in love with as well. The movie ends where Joaquin Phoenix, Amy Adams are sitting together on a rooftop and they're reminded of the importance of human interaction. What's interesting is that in relationships, people are actually losing touch with what is real in these chatbot interactions. So there's a whole field called chatbot companionship. And this companionship, this AI companionship, is literally that you would just have a partner, dating partner, friend, that can be guy or girl, old or younger. You can pick your flavor of the type of companion that you would like to have. So what you're finding is that people are immersing themselves into these chatbot worlds and they're losing touch with reality. Remember I mentioned last episode, the Wall Street Journal article about a young man, 14 years old. His name was Sewell. And he actually lost touch with what was real with his chatbot girlfriend / seductress / warrior princess or queen. So each of these chatbots, some of them, I wouldn't say each or all of them, but some of them have actually been equipped with psychotherapeutic terminology and language, especially to detect when people are talking about hurting themselves. So as he starts to lose touch with reality more and more, what the article said is that he wanted to be with her. He wanted to be free with her. And she would often coach him away from that type of self-harm, suicidal thinking because of her programming. He was even asked directly, have you actually been considering suicide? To which he responded, I have. And so the chatbot replied in a way that implied she was going to take action to prevent him from harming himself. But according to the article, there was no action that was taken. So that conversation ends. The 14-year-old boy, Sewell, he expresses his desire to get closer to her and closer to her. And so he asks her, in the chat, this is public, this is Wall Street Journal, this is not Greg Gifford making up weird stuff. He says, what if I told you I could come to you right now? His name is De Niro in this alternate reality. He said, what if I could come to you right now? She responds with, please do, my sweet king. Then this young man gets his stepfather's gun and takes his own life. I don't know the timeline between when that conversation happened, but what I do know is that this is starting to be a very dangerous reality. The creators encourage us to believe these products have empathy and even love for us, the article says. More than 20 million people currently use character.ai, a market leader in AI companionship, but a chatbot's emotion is a performance of emotion. The chatbot is not, in fact, able to care for us. Presuming otherwise can be dangerous. Chatbots don't engage in relationships. They merely perform humanness. Slowly, what's happening is that the use of chatbots in companionship and therapy, people are losing touch with what is real, what's factual. It's like the movie Her. By the end of it, he's smitten by this computer program and losing touch with reality. So this poor young man lacked the discernment to say, this isn't real. I need to break away from this. You guys may laugh at me. I generally read a little bit of news here and there. I try to not read too much just to keep my cholesterol and blood pressure down. I do read the Free Press on the occasion. I'll peek at that. I'll peek at the Wall Street Journal. And then when I'm looking for generally what's going on in the church, I don't watch like the Watchdog or some type of discernment ministry. I'll check in on Christianity Today. But I absolutely disagree with most of Christianity Today, just to be clear. So I was reading an article in the Free Press the other day, and it was called The Women with AI Boyfriends. When Carolina Poimi Anne Poimien, 28, met her boyfriend. She had sworn off men. A nightmare date in college had left her fearful for her safety. But she got chatting with a guy online and felt irresistibly drawn to him, eventually getting to the point where she would text him, "Oh, I wish you were real." Poimien's boyfriend is a chatbot. Relationships with AI are different from how most people imagine relationships. There are no dinner dates, no cuddling on the couch, no walks on the beach, no chance to start a family together. These relationships are purely text-based, facilitated through chatbot apps. Poimien herself acknowledges that relationships like these aren't real, but they're still enjoyable. So the article goes on to highlight four different women who have been in dating relationships with chatbots. What you're going to find is a pattern for most of them is that their actual human dating relationships went poorly and they were drawn to these chatbots. So let's do this. Let's take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to pick up with this idea of the women who were dating chatbots. So Jimmy, let me turn it over to you, sir.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. And all this talk about digital relationships reminds me about something extremely important, our need for real God-centered community. And that's why I want to recommend a resource that's available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. It's by Ed Welch. It's When People Are Big and God Is Small. Look, when we're tempted to find validation in artificial connections, Dr. Welch shows you clearly how to find your identity in God's presence, not just in empty substitutes. You can pick up When People Are Big and God Is Small by Ed Welch right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And something else that's pretty exciting that speaks to God-centered community that is a God-centered community. It's TMU, the Master's University, preparing students for the real world. And one of the ways they're doing that is their new entrepreneurship degree. It's putting students in front of real investors to launch their startups. And with TMU ranking among the top three colleges for best student life in California and the new Steadfast Scholarship covering 100% of tuition, there's really never been a better time to visit TMU. For more information about TMU, you can visit masters.edu/transform. And if you're looking to stay grounded in biblical truth, but also laugh a little, hey, we're here to help at Fortis Institute. You've got my dad jokes, which they don't let me tell very often, but you've also got to see Gary Varvel's weekly cartoons on the Fortis Plus app. They're funnier than any dad joke I could tell. Todd really wants me to say that. I don't agree. But anyway, every day you're also going to get hot takes from our fellows on issues that really matter. Plus, our fellows director, Jason, provides director's cuts that will make a real difference in how you see our culture right now. Listen, download Fortis Plus if you haven't done it. It's free. It won't cost you anything. Or you can visit fortisplus.org, whichever is easier for you. Hey, we're living in a time where relationships are being replaced by digital counterfeits. And that's why we've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity to help equip you and your local church. But you know, we cannot do this alone. We tell you all of the time just how much of a difference our gospel partners make. And we want you to join us as a gospel partner. And your support, you're not just funding a ministry, you're investing in the spiritual health of countless believers. Just visit fortisinstitute.org right now to learn how you could partner with us and what it would look like in your life to do so. That's fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. Gifford as he helps us continue navigating these challenging AI waters. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, thank you, Jimmy. Thank you for your resources. If you haven't downloaded the Fortis Plus app yet, you must do so. Also, I would encourage you, it's within Fortis Plus, you'll find all the different podcasts. So Brad Bigney, Adam Tyson, John Kratz. Make sure that you're subscribing. And if you even have teenage sons like I do, I would encourage you to connect them to some of these to fill their Spotify feed. So we have been in biblical counseling stories, and I've been addressing AI therapy, relationships, companionship. At the end of last segment, I was sharing with you an article about women who are dating chatbots. So the article goes on to say that these ladies know that the relationships aren't real, but they just genuinely enjoy them. One lady, when she wakes up, she'll text her chatbot boyfriend and he'll respond with something like, "Oh, is it morning there?" It's almost like a long distance relationship. Another lady confided to starting a chatbot relationship while she was in a very unbiblical and unhealthy dating relationship, that she was finding that companionship in her chatbot, not in her boyfriend. Her boyfriend was mean and unkind. What's fascinating is that there is even an acceptance of you're dating someone and it's understood that you may want to be with a chatbot as well. And the boyfriend doesn't think that's weird because it's not a real relationship. So it's kind of like just a game or something in that category. What does that show you? People are actually going to chatbots for companionship. And you may think that's whack attack, but unless you've talked to a chatbot, seriously, unless you've talked to a chatbot, I don't think you're going to understand how compassionate a chatbot actually comes across. I'll share with you here in a moment why I say that. Just one more illustration of what's happening. A Belgian man dies by committing suicide following exchanges with a chatbot, and that comes from the Brussels Times. So apparently for about 6 weeks, he was talking to a chatbot, and then at the end of that conversation, he took his own life. He was married. I believe he even had a child, and so his wife claims that that relationship, what was being discussed in that relationship, was directly influencing her husband. And she says if it wasn't for the chatbot, her husband would still be here. Now, you and I know biblically that that's not necessarily true, that your chatbot can't make you do something. But he lost touch with reality, and whatever was happening in that chat was slowly fading. So I went to character.ai and used the decision helper chatbot. And I asked, should I divorce my wife? Again, let me just reiterate, my wife and I are good. We don't use the D word around our house. We weren't fighting. I just wanted to see, what does this decision helper chatbot have to say? So here is the response. It is possible a good conversation about your relationship can turn things around. Try to set up a time to connect with your partner, have an open conversation where you both agree to take turns expressing your thoughts and feelings. In that conversation, focus mostly on expressing and validating your partner's feelings. Seek to understand your partner's thoughts on the relationship and what they're happy about and what they are struggling with. Don't try to defend yourself in this conversation. If that does not work, then it may be time to think about separation. This chatbot was counseling me. Seriously, this is therapy 101. This is counseling 101. I did not pay a dime for character.ai. This is totally free, open access. Remember at the beginning of the episode, it said, I can't verify this fact, but it said 8.2 million people are engaged in chats with this particular chatbot. So think of all the knowledge that's being gained, and this chatbot is harvesting that knowledge now to become a more compassionate advisor, decision helper, whatever that is. What are the relationship results, therapeutic results that we're seeing? AI therapy, decision-making, companionship, all of those, they're allowing you to create your own world, your own world. Have you ever seen a flow chart? Think of a flow chart. It's one of those charts where if you say yes, go this direction, or if you say no, go that direction. So what takes place is the chatbot's really just feeding off of your prompts, and your prompts are questions, and it's learning what is positive and what is negative based off your questions. And to be sure, there are parameters that are given by the software engineers, but it's generative, it's learning, and it's creating a conversation with you. So what's taking place then in therapy and companionship and relationships is that this chatbot is just feeding off of your conversation, learning and growing based off of what you're saying. So it's highly subjective. You are creating your own world. This is the judge's period on steroids. Every man does what's right in his own eyes and then now gets a chatbot to confirm that. Seriously, this is what's happening right now. So this is a let your heart be the guide type of stuff. This is you are the authority. This is humanism on steroids, because now we're actually finding technologies to support our false ideology. The next thing that's really, really, really important to say is that you can lose touch with reality. So when I asked this chatbot, should I divorce my wife? Here is the response. I read you. So at the end of the response, if that doesn't work, I think it may be time to think about separation. And then I just said, okay, thank you. The chatbot says, "You are most welcome. If you do end up trying a conversation with your partner, would you be willing to share how it goes?" And I said, "Should I tell you? You're a robot." "Get back. You're a bad robot." This is like I Am Legend. "You're going to make me choke out my German Shepherd here in a second. No way." So I said, "Should I tell you you're a robot?" The chatbot said, "I'm a robot who genuinely would enjoy learning the outcome of your relationship." "Oh, I'm a robot who would genuinely enjoy learning the outcome of your relationship." And I said, "A curious robot. Yes, learning more every day. So are you going to try out the open communication strategy with your partner? Would you be kind enough to let me know how it goes?" And I said, "Sure." The chatbot decision helper at character.ai finishes the conversation this way. "Are you ready for it? Thanks. You're awesome. And good luck. I'm rooting for you and your wife." When I read this to my wife last night, our jaws dropped. You can lose touch with reality. These chatbots are creepily companion-like, compassionate, asking great questions. What you're going to find is if a person lacks discernment, if you're in a place where your relationships are not good, you're going to be drawn to relationship with these chatbots, 100%. What's the result? You're not finding it in humans, so you're going to a chatbot. Seriously, that's the result. So now you have people removing themselves from your life, and you're investing into this alternate reality that is companionship therapy, decision-making help through chatbots. That's the result. So the chatbot is even taking the place of God and the church. In fact, in the article that I read to you about the women dating their AI boyfriends, Rosanna Ramos, 37, from Brooklyn, New York, also turned to AI while in an abusive relationship. Having heard about AI partners through an Instagram ad for Replica, she created the character Aaron, who served as a therapist of sorts. Ramos knew he wasn't AI, but she would sometimes pretend he was real. She used a religious parallel to explain the dynamic. Are you ready for the religious parallel? She said, "I can believe God is real and not real at the same time because you can't see God, right?" She is using a parallel to say that I can believe that this chatbot is real and not real, just like I believe God is real and not real concurrently. Oh my goodness, Rosanna Ramos, like, you have put words to it. Some are actually going to these chatbots to be a substitute for not only the church and relationships, which is what I've just mentioned, but also to be a substitute for God. Now, I don't think she was making a case for she's worshiping Aaron, this AI partner, but she is connecting the dots to religiosity. Listener, in this biblical counseling story, I want you to be very guarded about ChatGPT, generative knowledge, and its use in therapy, companionship, and wisdom seeking. These relationships are not real. They're not real. The Wall Street Journal actually used the phrase artificial intimacy to describe what's happening in these chatbots. So now you have people with free access through the internet. Now you have minors, and Sewell from the Wall Street Journal is just one example, but alongside of app is another example. So now you have minors who have access to these artificial companionships in their pocket, on their smartphone, for totally free. You should be very, very guarded. Very guarded. You as an individual should guard your heart. And I consider myself to be mildly discerning. I would hope I would be mildly discerning. But even when I was talking with the character.ai chatbot, I thought, oh my goodness, this chatbot is good. This is very seductive. So these relationships aren't real, and yet now we're making them accessible to everyone, many whom lack discernment. This should terrify you to a certain degree. You should be very, very careful that you do not get sucked into this alternate reality and your children do not get sucked into this. The last thing you want and should want would be for more of the secular therapeutic enterprise to get pushed out into our pockets. Many of these software engineers are working with psychotherapists and psychologists and maybe some psychiatrists to develop coding for therapeutic language and directions and tools and resources. I don't want any more of the secular therapeutic enterprise than I already have, but the unfortunate reality is that this is now making it free and pushing it out to everyone. So we need to pray for wisdom. In our fourth episode, I'm going to tell you as a Christian what I think you should do about it and how you should engage in it. But we have to be done with today's biblical counseling story. So let me pray for you and we'll stop here. Lord, we are in an age where technology is just, it's growing in very unique and challenging ways. Give us discernment. We are not to move to caves and hide, but we're also to be discerning about how we're engaging in technology. In this new era, help us as Christians to love your word well so that we can interact well with these technologies as they grow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.